done, because he's amazing. So right now we're going to get ready to dive into God's word together. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I just want to thank you that everything we need, God, is in your word. God, there's so much life, blessing, power, good, Lord God, that's in your word. I thank you, you're the best daddy, you're the best father that there is. And you want to speak to us, you want to work in and through our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you love us, Lord. So we open our hearts up to you now and just pray, Jesus, please speak to us today in your name. Amen. Amen. So if I was to kind of give a title to this today, I had one of two really. Essentially what I want to talk to you about today is about peace in the storms of life. But kind of my little subtitle would be Under the Influence. Now before you worry about what you've tuned into, let me just explain what I mean by that. I just want us to take a step back in the midst of all that's happening right now at the moment in the world, and I just want to ask you a really simple question, okay? And that's just this: what's most influencing your heart and your mind at this point in time? What's the kind of prevailing influence for you right now? I guess the only way that you'd really know that is to consider, you know, what are the kind of prevailing thoughts? What am I thinking about the most? What am I feeling most in my heart right now? And it could be that you feel that you're under the influence of fear. It could be that you feel that you're under the influence of worry. It could be that you feel like you're under the influence of stress or anxiety. And how do I know if I'm under the influence of them things? Well, I guess I would say, for example, if we take anxiety, is anxiety affecting the way you're feeling? Is it affecting the way you're thinking right now? And your emotions, you know, are they anxious, and are they affecting your thoughts? Are they affecting your feelings and your trains of thought? You know, I find that sometimes when I kind of live by my emotions, my heart and my mind go to some kind of crazy places, to be honest. And, you know, many times lately what I've heard on the news, and I fully understand why, is that they've been likening what's been happening right now to being like a war. And, you know, we're staying home right now because we're fighting to save lives. We're fighting to protect our NHS. And I just want to say again, you know, we love you and thank you, all those of on the front line, carers, nurses, everyone who's doing what you're doing. You know, we threw open our lounge window on Friday night and clapped with all our heart. And we thank you for all you're doing. And there's that war there right now to save lives and to protect our NHS so they can cope with what's happening. But there's another big aspect to this war. And it's being fought behind closed doors. It's being fought inside of people. And it's the battle for hearts and minds. It's the battle for our thoughts. It's the battle for our feelings. And it's real. You know, many people are fighting right now to not feel like they're being driven by their emotions. You know, I always believed it's important to keep it real. And I want to be really honest and say I've struggled with that. Particularly this week, it kind of came to a head a little bit for me, because been so busy and stress and pressure and everything like that, that stress and pressure began to become the prevailing influence on my heart and my mind. And my family will tell you I turned into a bit of the Gruffalo this week, and it was affecting my feelings, my thoughts. I was struggling with migraines badly, and you know, it wasn't good for me, it wasn't good for my family. The weight of things that was upon me at that point in time just kind of began to kind of influence all my thoughts and my feelings. And you know, I, like so many, was craving peace. I just needed some peace. And, you know, I kept saying to Claire and people who love me and concerned about me, the leadership team, and, you know, were contacting me, make sure you get rest and look after yourself and everything like that. And I kept using this phrase. I kept just saying, you know, I need to just get over this hump. And what I meant by that was not the sort of the hump that I had, but what I meant by that was that if I get all these things done, there was a bit of a, you know, mountain of things to get through. If I can get all this stuff done, if I can get through this, then stuff will settle down and I'll feel better. And so in my mind and in my heart, I'd slipped into a really common way of thinking about peace. And it was that simply, like, peace to me had become the absence of something at that point in time, you know. In other words, if I could remove some of that stress or pressure, then I would feel better. You know, I'd feel at peace about things a little bit more. And that's what we often do. That's the natural kind of thinking when it comes to peace. Peace is quite naturally circumstantial for a lot of people. And so we think, you know, if peace might be the absence of war, or for some it might be the absence of noise or the absence of conflict, you know, then I feel peace. And so we begin to live by this notion, you know, if you can take them things away, then I'll feel peace. Thursday night, we sat down as a family. I wasn't in a great place. And we sat down as a family, and my family could feel that. They could see that. And My wife marched out the room. She grabbed a loudspeaker. She brought it in, bought bread and juice, and put it on the table. We're going to worship. We're going to have communion together as a family. And so I hadn't even had my pudding, I don't think, at that point in time, but it was too important an issue to worry about that. But so she brought it in and she just put worship on, and we broke bread together and we prayed together. And you know what, friends, the shift, I've been having my own prayer times, but in that moment when things were becoming a bit much, the shift was so real in my heart and in my mind that I began to feel just this sense of peace, this settling, my feelings and my thoughts coming into a much healthier kind of place. And there was still lots going on. There was still lots to be done. Nothing had changed on that front. And so there were still jobs and things that needed to be done. But it was what I realized is that allowing my heart and my mind to come under the right influence, and that right influence that settled me and brought the peace was the presence of God. And you know, as we sat and worshipped, I felt that sense of his presence and I felt that peace. And you know what, I was reminded again, peace is not the absence of our problems, it's the presence of a person. And it's the presence of the person of Jesus Christ. It's the presence of God in our life. Peace isn't a thing. Circumstantial peace might be a thing, but real peace is a person, and that person is Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he is called the Prince of Peace. I read this quote just recently. It said, "When the prevailing influence on our hearts and minds is the presence of Jesus, we have a peace that conquers." I love that. So the challenges and issues hadn't gone, but the awareness of the person who is peace, that's Jesus, was with me, and that changed everything. So you could say perhaps nothing had changed, yet everything had changed. And so what I want us to really grasp today is that looking for, being hungry for, and living aware of the presence of God is the key in our lives to experiencing peace. We need Jesus. More than ever, right now, we need to live so consciously of the fact that we need Jesus. When there's so much that wants to try to drive us to live by our emotions, we need to retain this real awareness. The one thing I need is the presence, the person of Jesus. I need to come into his presence and let his presence affect how I do life, affect my faith, my mindsets, my responses, my choices, my feelings and attitudes. So I just want to read a well-known story to you just now and highlight a few things just to kind of share what I'm saying with you right now. You'll know it well. It's a story from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 51. And as I prayed about that this week, I felt this is what God wanted me to share. So it says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them," this is Jesus speaking, "let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern." I just want to say that to you again. "But he," that's Jesus, "was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?' They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes." You know, here was a bunch of disciples, a bunch of guys who loved Jesus. They were following Jesus. And pre-storm, it was calm and peaceful. I like in Luke's account, in the Message version, actually says before this storm even hit, it uses phrases, "it was smooth sailing." You know, I love the times in life when it's smooth sailing. And when life is smooth sailing, you kind of feel at peace, don't you? When everything is kind of sailing along smoothly, our heart and our mind feel in a good place and feel at peace. But suddenly the whole scene dramatically changes, and this furious storm, when you actually read about the storm, it was a phenomenal storm that actually stirred up. And all of a sudden we move from a smooth sailing peaceful scene to a scene where fear, anxiety, worry, stress, pressure, maybe even frustration, I don't know, disappointment, it's all kind of kicking in. And all of a sudden, thoughts and hearts and minds are running everywhere. And it says, you know, that the boat was filling, you know, you know, water was coming in. It was an overwhelming storm in which they're in. And at times, what we're in right now might feel a bit overwhelming in this situation. And you know, so sometimes anxiety and fear, etc., they take over, they kick in. And we know it was a biggie because there's guys like Peter on board. He's an experienced fisherman. I mean, he'd have seen a storm or two in his life, and yet he's freaking out, and he's kind of, you know, wondering what's going on. And remember, this is folks who, they were with Jesus and following Jesus, and they loved him. Yet all of a sudden they found themselves in a place where they're under the influence of a storm. And not so much just an external storm, but an internal one that was being kind of stirred up by what was happening around them. And all these emotions were kicking in that I've been talking to you about. So what we see is we see a people whose peace is being defined and controlled by what's going on around them. Verse 38, I said it earlier on, says, but he, that's Jesus, was in the storm. But he was in the stern. And what they came to learn that day was their peace actually can be defined by the presence of the one who is in the storm with them. And so to experience peace in the midst of any storm, be it COVID-19 or any other, there are two really important questions I want to ask you today. The first one is simply this. Is Jesus in your boat? That boat, I want you to consider that to be an image of your life. Maybe you're tuning in today and you don't normally go to church, but something has led you here. I want to ask you, is Jesus in your boat? Is he on board in your life? Is he Saviour and Lord? Have you invited him into your heart? Are you following him? Because there is no real peace unless Jesus is in the boat. The second thing I want to ask you is this. If he is in your boat and you do love him and you're living for him, have you remembered he's in the boat? Are you focusing on the presence of the one who's in the boat in the midst of the storm with you? Or is it possible, a little like what happened to me this week, where perhaps your eyes and your focus have been kind of taken away to the external storm? Now, verse 40 is a real key for us today. Jesus says to them, why are you so afraid? Have you no faith? Now, when Jesus spoke to them about that kind of situation with their fear and their lack of faith, he wasn't implying they should deny the reality that they felt. You know, Jesus wasn't saying, you know, don't even acknowledge the storm. Don't even talk about it. That's like a sign of unbelief if I even hear you acknowledging or talking about the storm. Like some people might say, I can't even speak about that because it's a sign of unbelief. No, Jesus wasn't saying deny storm. Faith isn't denial. You know, eyes closed, there's water pouring in, they're buffeted and everything, and they're going, there is no storm, there is no storm, there is no storm. And yet everyone's saying, do you know what, I beg to differ because I feel the reality of the storm that I'm in right now. You know, an equivalent right now would be to go, there is no coronavirus, there is no situation, there is nothing going on there. There is, we feel that reality. You know, that would be daft to deny that. But one quote that I heard recently, which I really love, said this. It said, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. You know, I love that phrase where someone said, it's not so much that we face the facts, but we faith the facts. Okay, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what faith is. Because faith is able to stand up to the storms, the internal storms, the external storms, and the challenges of life. So what does faith look like? Faith is simply trust. I just want to remind you that, friends, right now. You might be watching for the first time, or you might be following Jesus for a long time. Just keep your trust in him. Put your confidence in him. Jesus said to them in one version, why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet? What Jesus did was he brought them back to an awareness that he was in the boat with them. Faith is putting your confidence and your trust in Jesus, the one in the boat, in the midst of the storm. So the natural response is panic or fear or anxiety. But for the Christian, our response should be one of trust. You know, so faith isn't denying what's happening. It's simply trusting Jesus in the midst of it all and making sure we're living aware of his presence, that we're allowing ourselves to come under the right influence, which is the presence of God, not just the presence of media and social media, but the presence of God, because that's where we find peace. You know, storms and crisis, they test our faith. Smooth sailing, it's not hard to kind of go along nicely. But what about trusting Jesus in the storms? Isaiah 26 verse 3 is one of my actual favourite scriptures, and it says this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Because they trust in you. Now, that doesn't mean that to have peace, I always will understand what's going on. It doesn't even mean I have to understand what's going on. You know, in fact, I can surrender my right to kind of understanding everything because I trust Jesus and I know he's at work. I know Even in the midst of all this madness, he has a plan, friends. He will work for good in the midst of all this horrible stuff that's happening right now. And so I live aware of his presence and put my confidence in him. And faith, I find, settles my heart. That trust, that confidence settles my heart and my mind into a place of peace. So I don't deny the storm, but I don't dwell upon the storm. I don't deny it, but I don't dwell upon it. Because if I dwell upon what's going on around me, it just creates fear. It causes me to take my eyes off Jesus. I forget who's in the boat with me. But if I focus on him, I experience peace. I live aware of his presence and dwell in his presence. Don't dwell on the storm, dwell in his presence. What does Jesus do? He says to get you guys out from under the influence of what you're feeling right now, he calls them back to an awareness of the one who is in the boat. It was like, why are you so afraid? I'm here. I'm in the boat with you. So we need to be aware of his presence and redirect our hearts and minds towards him. Return to a place of faith and trust when it gets a bit crazy. Respond from that place. You know, none of my best actions or thoughts come out of a place of anxiety or fear or worry. But the best stuff comes out of a place of faith, confidence, trust, and peace that Jesus gives. You know, someone once said, sometimes Jesus calms the storm, and sometimes he calms you in the storm. You know, that in my life has been my own experience in different challenges, storms, tragedies. It's absolutely true. Just a couple more scriptures to you before we come back and worship. Another one of my favourites is Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4 through to 7 says this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or gentleness as some versions say, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Can I just say it to you again? The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that surpasses and the peace that guards. In other words, this is a peace that goes beyond any natural peace. It's a peace that's way better than circumstantial peace. The peace of God is way better than any of that. It's the peace that you can be in a storm and yet you can feel peace. And you don't know why, but you do. It's way better. It surpasses other peace. Secondly, to God, it means it protects. It's like a defense. And what does it protect? It protects my heart and mind. This is what we've been talking about. It stops me from kind of succumbing or going under the wrong influence of the wrong things. And so when there's that big war, is that storm, I thank God for his peace that protects my heart and mind. But how do we experience it? Well, it's our relationship with Jesus. It's time with him. He talks there about rejoicing in the Lord. He talks about prayer and supplication, or petitions as some versions say. He talks about thanksgiving. He says, and then the peace of God. It's when we redirect our hearts and minds to Jesus, being in his presence, that the peace of God comes in. So as I live aware of him, I come under his influence, and that peace that surpasses and guards my heart is my experience. You know, when we live aware of his presence, he promises us that. You know, when I can't figure it out, he's still protecting my heart, he's still protecting my mind. So here's my closing thought. Jesus is in the same storm. It's a real storm. Yet he's not worried, he's not fearful, he's not anxious, he's sleeping. I think, how can he sleep in the storm? When they wake him, he doesn't panic. You know, I was thinking this, I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't panic even when I do. He doesn't panic. You know, his reaction to that storm is so calm, it just tells me one thing. That's that his internal peace was greater than his external storm that he found himself in. That peace, the peace of God that he had, wasn't defined or controlled by what's happening around him. It was influencing what was happening around him. Everyone's flipping out. What does Jesus do? He just stands and speaks. He says, peace, be still. He just releases what's inside of him, which is peace. The storm doesn't control his peace. His peace calms the storm. Bill Johnson said this: you can only have control over the storms you are able to have peace in. You can only have control over the storms you're able to have peace in. So Jesus didn't just speak to a storm. He didn't just speak to a storm. He spoke from a place of peace. You might think to yourself, well, that's nice. That's Jesus. And I'm not Jesus. But you know what, friends? The same peace that he had there is the same peace he gives to anyone who places their faith and their trust in him. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he said this: "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you." This is John chapter 14, verse 27. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Wow. You know, so there's a real storm happening around us at the moment. It causes internal fear, panic, anxiety, stress, etc. in hearts and minds. But, I want you to say this with me at home this morning, but he was in the stern. But he was in the stern. If Jesus is in your boat, do you know what, friends? The storm doesn't have to control your peace, because found in the presence and the person of Jesus is a peace that can calm your storm. So is Jesus in your boat? Is he in your life? You know, if he's not and you're watching today, why don't you write down something in the comments box below and say, I want that. I want this peace. Peace is a person. You know, you need to invite Jesus, accept him into your heart. And I encourage you, it's the best decision I ever made in my life. Open your heart to Jesus. Turn to him. Allow him to forgive you for your sins. Welcome him into your heart and live for him. And you will experience the Prince of Peace at work in your life. Secondly, I want to say to you, if he is in your boat, church family, I'm speaking to you now. If he's in your boat, have you remembered he's in there? Are you living aware of his presence? When it's all getting a bit much, are you taking time out to redirect your heart and mind towards him? Jesus brings calm to the storm. Peace is a person. And it says they were in fear of what he'd done. That fear means actually they were amazed. It doesn't mean like they were like, huh? It means they were blown away by seeing what Jesus could do in the midst of a storm. Staggered in awe. You know, we're sailing through a storm, but I believe we're going to be blown away by what Jesus is going to do in the midst of this storm. We're going to see God do some really great, wonderful things. In verse 35, he gave them a promise. He said, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." In verse 1 of chapter 5, it says they made it across the sea. Do you know what? COVID-19 is a very real storm. But do you know what? We will make it to the other side. Keep your faith and your trust and your confidence in Jesus. And may the peace of God fill your heart. God bless you. Praise God. We're going to put a little screen up. We're not disappearing. We're just going to come back and close in worship. So stay right where you are right now. Maybe just consider these things that we talked about for a moment. And we'll be right back just to close out with worshiping Jesus.